No, but there are so many ways in which we can be distracted. So if you're not grounded in something bigger, then you're...
Well, it's like I was wasting... It's like a Tomona. I was wasting so much time in my day when I was in my corporate job. I was wasting so much time worried about news, worried about conversations that I had no fucking control over. I had no... Whatever, and I wasted 3-4 hours a day on shit that that mattered nothing to me, that it had no impact on my life. I could not change the effect of that.
Yeah.
But why was I wasting so much time on worrying about stuff that didn't pertain to my life?
Right.
You know, news. Right. We're so just to have conversation with people.
Yeah.
That was the only reason, because you were, you know, familiar with the topic of. What's hot right now?
He would come home so stressed, and he'd be like, "Did you see this on the news? Did you see this
on
the news?"
I would come home because some of the guys were like conspiracy theory kind of guys, and I was like, "They're like, oh, if you see the red X on your curb with the check mark, you know, they're coming after you." No, it wasn't. You know what it was? The people are coming to your house to see if they want to paint the curb numbers, and you've been selected with the circle and the X. No, it was so and so. I came home all
because
everyone's like,
paranoia.
Nanotechnology. We're gonna get activated. We're gonna go and what? We're gonna get wristlets. You know. Bars, bracelets in it. Yeah, and we're gonna get scanned, and then now the government has all these what are they? Caskets that are just stacked and stacked upon fields and fields of black caskets. And
you know what though? I will say this. I know a lot of what he's talking about. So some of it's real,
but
that's the city just marketing where the work's gonna be.
Exactly. It's for the city's money. Right, either they got it or not. Either you want your you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was just like, dude, are you serious? So it gets you scared and the red X and everything, and I'm like, Mona, I came home, dude, like,
what can we do to change our life?
We live fucking sidewalk, oh my god.
And if somebody does come, they won't handle it at that moment for them. I mean, creating too much stress.
I came home and I was like, Mona, we gotta go. We gotta leave. I swear, dude.
I manufactured fear.
It's horrible.
It's like
I got a unique perspective on that, because that's like a big tool in the military. Like, that's what all the yelling's for. If you got no leadership skills but you got rank on your collar, just be loud, just scare the shit out of everybody, because in fear they're sheep.
Control.
Yeah, it's just sheep. Control. It's about how do you gain control of what? The situation, the mountain, the objective, whatever it is. How do you gain control? And fear is usually that one tool you got
fear
in your back
drives
pocket
it all.
You know what I mean? Be crazier than the person in front of you and then fuck them up when you see it. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. That's okay to do sometimes when our life is maybe in like threat, but they're using it as a tactic.
But to use it as a life tool.
As a life tool.
Yeah, as a life tool, no bueno to get through life and get through your situations, and no matter what life presents you.
But they don't tell us that. They don't tell us that. We're just put in front of something and we're like, huh? What? Smash.
It's like
now you learn. You know, and then walk away and they're like, yeah, whoa, no, you can't. Wait, why not? You know.
Well, that's what everything that we're doing is, you know, unconditioning the conditioned, as Eric says.
Yeah, unconditioning the conditioned.
The fear that was instilled in me growing up actually made me sick.
And that's part of how you got the disease that you got. Because the body eventually manifested all of the tension.
It took it to the next level.
And all
for sure.
That tenseness that you were under mentally, emotionally, and then of course physically, because that's what happens. The body is in a state of contraction.
Mm-hmm.
It then becomes the default system to be in a state of contraction. And when it's happening, you get less oxygen, and then you start getting a cortisol and adrenaline.
Hear him all the way over there?
I don't know. You may want to come. Like, are you almost?
Yeah, I walk over there.
Okay, yeah. But go ahead and, like, yeah.
My question. My question was for Justin. And when you hear Janie speak about her ex-husband and delivering a message based on that type of experience, the conflict and the trials that were in that relationship, how do you process that? Like, how do you handle that, and how does that make you feel?
A lot of different things. I think at first I felt a lot of that toxic masculinity coming out. Like, that motherfucker, how could he? Like, why? Like, I don't get it. But then it quickly turned to...
Does this pivot?
Right here, watch your head. Okay. Then it quickly turned to wanting to understand Janie. So it's like, how does this help me understand what triggers her in those moments when I'm like, whoa, what did I say or do? Like, what's going on here? You know, the more she shares about it and the more I'm able to just sit through and look at it through that lens. As far as feeling goes, it's really just compassion. Like, okay, now I get why you this, that, and the other thing. Because sometimes my way to get around something or avoid a trigger just sets off another one. And I don't know these things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's a landmine.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So when she does tell me this, it's like, okay, cool. My old plan B, my plan B can't be my plan B anymore. And I need a new plan B, you know? And it helps me navigate those spaces with her. So and are also, some things hard to listen to? They're like, yeah, because some things, even as a man, I'm like, wait, huh? You know? But, you know?
When you say, well, first I wanted to clarify one little thing that you happened to say a little while ago.
Okay.
Just uh-oh. Because it would make me feel better. One of the very first things he mentioned when you were like quoting me, let's say, and I don't mean quoting as in like verbatim, but just kind of giving people the understanding of like the pain that you have to feel sometimes now, but it's not being projected onto you. You said that I said, that motherfucker, I just don't get it.
No, and I'm sorry. If that came out wrong, it was for me. Is in my head, sometimes I'm like, I just don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
Like why he would do that or say oh, that. Or like, I don't fully understand the situation, so the right. initial response is, what?
Like, how dare
what?
You?
Like, why? Not so much how dare you. Not so much how dare you, because then I'm like, I'm trying to make myself part of a problem that's not here anymore.
Oh, right.
But it's more like, even if I understand, like, you know, if I'm giving him the credit as a, or not the credit, I'm sorry, but the room as a guy to lust for another woman or to be having certain thoughts or feeling certain ways, even in my mind, if I give him that room and I think of it in that box, it still leaves me WTF. Like, what? I don't get how someone would make certain decisions or whatever, but I'm also not him. And the more she elaborates on it and over time, we'll talk about it in different ways. She won't always tell it the same way. A different detail will always come up. And little by little, I'll understand it all and help me understand her trauma and eventually heal it with time. You know?
And I think the reason why, and I appreciate that you were able to like let me know, again, this is a perfect example of a moment in a real relationship that if I didn't check in and see, well, how did you mean that when you said that?
Yeah, yeah, could have
and
easily
yeah, said but I do want to say that even at the end of when it all sort of hit and it came to an end, as difficult and painful as all of it was to fully accept, because to fully accept it, that's like a process, right? I did understand why it was happening. That was there from the beginning. Like, I even knew why the conflict was rising, and I think that has been the hardest thing to heal, was there was this thing that I couldn't let go of, which is I couldn't believe that he resisted so much of the answers that had risen to the surface that were gonna be the keys to help us get the resolve and get out of this horrible loop that we were in that truly was tied to unresolved childhood traumas. He was not in a state of acceptance of believing that the information that I was seeing and gathering through studies and through spiritual, I call downloads, that God was like revealing to me to help me.
Just really understand how we were not loving ourselves unconditionally. How we were not doing that for each other. And I was on that path, man, like a trail fucking blazer for God. And I didn't know that I was in a marriage that was like experiencing, I guess, what most would call like spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think the part that was so heartbreaking for me that I think even as you hear me say it now and I cry, and it's not because I'm still in that place or anything else, although people could take it that way, it's just that that's how real
That's how deep this thing went, that when I really recall how much I put myself out there and try to surrender again and again to help him see, like, look, like, I'm in this for us and for you, and this is real, and we have a way out, and here it is, like, let's try it on for size. It was like he couldn't trust me. More importantly, he really wasn't ready to see himself in such a deep, profound way that I was, you know? And you can't have intimacy. I wanted that level of intimacy with myself and with God, as well as my husband. And I realized that there was going to be work involved to achieve that. But at that point, we were working as love coaches. And that's why this was even more heartbreaking to me, because it wasn't just an end of a marriage, but it was that everything that I was believing in and what we were trying to, like, help other people with, like, when we got to that point in our relationship, he wasn't able and willing or wanting to do any of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't ready to really change anything. He literally told me, I don't think there is anything about myself that I have to change or even want to change. Like, I don't want to. I really like who I am. And there was this deep lack of empathy and compassion that this person had, not only for me, but for himself. And I'm like, that's not love, you know?
And, you know, as far as, like, feeling a deep emotional reaction when you think, have these thoughts, I don't know how it goes. Like, studies show that when you think of something, you know all about this, yeah. Justin. When you think of something, it regenerates that feeling in your body or in your mind, and it can trigger those same generation of those chemicals to make you feel exactly how, back on the battlefield of whatever kind, you know what I mean? Yeah. Transports you there in a flashback.
Yes.
Same feelings, whatever. So,
and that's why the mind body is so beautiful and so sophisticated.
You could work it the other way too, where you could, where, okay, so that thought triggered certain feelings in your body, right? Felt senses, right? Well, if you know your body and you know that wearing a certain material clothing, it feels a certain way on your skin and you kind of like it, like maybe it flaps better or maybe it sits better on your body. I don't know, something, you know, we all have our things. And you know that shirt makes you feel that way and it's a good feeling, then maybe when you come up upon an issue or you're stuck on, you know, thinking about your micromanaging boss at work, you know, instead of thinking of them in your work clothes, which is the clothes you hate them in, right, put on your favorite shirt and then have those thoughts. Get yourself feeling good first, you know, and then have those thoughts. So now your body's open, you've got all kinds of different chemicals running through there, maybe the thought process will be different too, you know. It's like adding sodium to the electric field, you know, more can fire off now because you feel good. So you can work it forwards and backwards.
That's funny. I used to say how the first rule of making good food was to be comfortable. Like, then the food comes out better because you're not all stiff and putting that energy into the thing that, you know. I would always get in real comfy clothes and comfy shoes and then cook because I just felt like my energy was going to, like, go into the food. I'm making it. Like,
yeah, it's gonna feel it.
And it's the same thing about those thoughts, you know, to relax yourself. That's interesting.
And, you know, what you're saying is even similar to, let's say, speaking to plants, right? Like you're putting yourself in a good place, and then you're feeling like you're transferring your comfort and your, you know, your calmness and or even like your passion for what it is you're about to cook and stuff. You kind of get yourself prepped. The food itself has water in it, okay, that you're prepping.
Speak to water.
Yes. And same, so water is sensing. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like truly your love really does get transferred into the food just from the Dr. Emoto video itself, right? If that is to be true, if that's
right.
true right. I think this type of partnership with Justin that I'm traversing and cultivating and nurturing and building is so that we could be a bridge of healing for one another. And so he anchors into the Holy Spirit when I go in to maybe a place where I am having a flashback of some kind. I noticed that was happening because scenarios where Justin was doing something a certain way, in a certain scenario again, right? That same scenario occurred, but with the previous person. And I got to see the duality and the contrast of it. So what I kept having was traumatic, bittersweet moments where I was just so elated and immersed with grace because I was just so grateful and appreciative of what I had attracted and what I am experiencing mm-hmm. with the man now. But the reason, but then it's like here I'm having it and then boom, a memory comes out of nowhere like a, what is it called? One of those big old wrecking balls. Mm. And it's not like it's, I don't want to use it in the sense that it just wrecked this moment. No, here comes the paradox again when I talk about I can see the yucky and see the new. And then sometimes it makes me cry because I have to remember how bad it actually was. And then it reminds me of the girl I was once. Mm-hmm. And then I still cry for her. It's a moment where I get to be empowered mm-hmm. because I'm not her anymore. Mm-hmm. But maybe she needed to cry another cry over that memory mm-hmm. so it could leave my mental, emotional, physical, spiritual mm-hmm. fields, body.
You know what I do is, I won't make this too long, but sometimes when I feel like that, I realize how do you say it? Like multiple things. Okay, so number one is how good it feels to hug a child. Mm. And then how good it feels to be hugged as a child. And realizing that you are both that inner child and that inner adult, and you are both of those people having the experience. And when you visualize the hug of the inner child and inner mother or father or whatever, yes. is that it's really like makes you feel so connected with yourself and appreciative of yourself and understanding of yourself and your mistakes. Honey, it's okay, you're still my baby, all of that, like we're still cool. And learning and kind of growing to that place. But yeah, thank you guys for sharing that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why it's been really powerful that I have learned to build trust and respect for him as a man and a human being, but particularly a male human being that is open and willing to hold space for a woman who is still to some degree purging the cultural, societal, religious traumas as well as heartache traumas from a previous relationship that wasn't very healthy and very disharmonious, but I attracted it because I had to play that out, you know, like you said before. And so being able to share with him, let me have my moment. Sometimes he has to hear some difficult things mm-hmm. because I'll be like, and men. Mm-hmm. Right. But then I'll be like, but I understand why y'all are like that. But man, is this like just goes deep in you guys and it causes us so much pain. And he's had an opportunity to really see that. So his compassion and empathy for what women go through was already really high because he has 5 sisters and, you know, in his
wow. Uh-huh. You're and resilient then to some degree.
Yes, it's beautiful. But at the end of the day, he's still a guy. And so sometimes I had to realize, you know, it's that there's only so much that, you know, you're not going to go on and on and on. I allow myself to have my moment. Some people go there and then they'll allow it to ruin, like just like, ruin they, their whole yeah, day for
they
like
take that mile.
Yes. And with him, I respect it. So I don't expect him to do the work for me. It's like, this is where I'm at right now. And so just, you know, and then he's like, what? And you know what? He asked the most perfect question. What do you need from me right now? And I'm like, just hold my hand. You know, or other times it's like,
I don't need anything, get away.
Sometimes it could be that. Yeah, sometimes. And if I need it, he knows not to take offense. And if he does, then we have to have a safe talk about that later because I'll be like, you act like you're like being my homie. And then when I told you what I needed, I felt a little something come off of you. Was that accurate or not accurate? And what was that really about? Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So it's awesome that he can be a tandem healer. And he has a lot of trauma that he's been healing. And I've had to hold the freaking frame. Mm-hmm. I've had to go into my masculine, my divine masculinity sometimes, or a deep, deep, deep divine femininity. Mm-hmm. And that's why he and I understand this balance of neurochemicals and transmitters and brains and essence and what's the best thing, how can you best show up right now and how can I best show up right now in this very moment to accomplish this task or to get over this hurdle? What does that require of me and what does that require of you? And are we both willing to do that to the same degree in this very moment? And if you're wanting to not be in that place and you're an ego, then I have to surrender and not try to bring you back into the light because you're gonna come back. He always does or I always do. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? And then operate from that place when y'all are gonna talk about shit. But it's not pretty and it gets ugly, but we, Justin and I are finding our way.
That's what's important. You said it, we always come back.
Always come back okay. to center.
Sorry for that stuff.
Right? And you know what's weird, Arama, that he is, that I was in my last relationship that I never got from my partner, or I won't say never because we have to leave room for the moments where he did sort of step into cheerleader. You know, it's like that like, you can do it. Like, I believe in you. Like, he just wasn't that guy and he never really expressed that. If he felt it, I didn't know it. I told him how it would register with me, but he refused to do it that way. So what could I do, right? So whatever. Anyway, see how I go in a little blah, 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 blah. We were talking about, there was something, what was it? Him coming back, giving me resolve. Oh, cheerleader. Mm-hmm. That comes naturally to me. So to be in a partnership where he does that for me religiously is amazing, but what really shocked me was and he does it still to this day, Lena. Mm-hmm. But the first time he said to me, maybe we had a little bit of a, ooh, and we didn't really get through it so good, but we got there, okay? Sometimes I'm just like, and he'll be like, hey, at the end of the day, he's like, we did a good job today.
Well,
but like, you know what I mean? I'm like, wait a second, really? And then it's true, because he's like, we had a little bit of a rough day and we weren't so in sync and I did this and blah, 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 but like, we got to pat ourselves on the back for getting through another day. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
I love that. I'd like y'all to talk more about how, when you have those rough days, can you forgive each other fully? And not let the resentment build up within the relationship, because that type of tension dissolves the relationship, dissolves intimacy and any type of connection or spark or whatever. And that resentment naturally piles up sometimes. It's like you were saying earlier about taking out the emotional garbage for the day and being able to put all of that junk in the waste bin or the trash can and taking it out and actually dumping it out somewhere.
You know what I mean? Totally.
And watching it like get hauled away on the truck.
Exactly.
It's out of here. I'm not dealing with that heaviness.
Yeah, so it's like you need to do that for yourself, but if you're going to be in a relationship, Justin and I have made that a ritual. So we usually, I don't know if this is a little TMI, but we do a pretty good job of showering together a few times. If not every day, sometimes we're pretty consistent with it. But it's this, we use the shower to wash ourselves, like get us prepared for the day as a couple, and then also wash away.
Like a rough day or something.
Wash away a rough day. Because normally we shower, like he showers in the morning and he wakes up, we both wake up early, but he wakes up earlier than me. So a lot of times, then he'll shower in the morning, right? By himself. There are other times where that's when we'll do it. But if we have a really bad day and we didn't shower together that morning, and I don't want to say a really bad day. It's more just like an off day that creates these hiccups that then create these fires that have to be put out. And I'll be thinking, damn, we had to put out 5 fires today, yo. We were straight up firefighters, you know? And then
I love that.
And then it's like, you know, we find these funny ways at the end of the day to talk about it again, but from a lightheartedness and this humor.
Yeah.
And luckily, he's very childlike in that way, in that his imagination and his creativity and visualizations are so awesomely rad that if they don't come through to him, they come through to me. And then it helps us. It's like a cool tool.
It also helps because for me, a couple things, is that I've programmed my brain that if I laugh at a new idea, if the laughter comes from inside and there's a very specific feeling I feel in my body, I usually go with it, even if I don't understand it. I'm like, okay, this one feels good. Do you know what's happening? Nope, but it feels good. Let's do it. And I've learned to trust myself in that way. The second thing is, it's good to double check at the end of the day to make sure you don't go to bed angry or anything. But if you can laugh at yourself in the problem in the right context, not like beating yourself up like, oh, you were a big idiot. No, it's
right,
like, hey,
not
man.
Ridiculing.
Yeah,
just...
no, just say, hey, man, I can't believe I lost my shit like that, babe. Like, I'm so sorry. Now I know, though, but I didn't realize that it was because of this. So thank you for this, that, and the other thing. So if you can laugh at yourself, it shows that you really do have a new perspective on an issue. Because you're laughing at it now from before you were anything but. And I call it walking the change. So if you've really taken the day to process what's happened and you're going to use it to build on a better day tomorrow, then you should be able to at least find the humor in the right way. And doing that at the end of the day, because I know we tease ourselves at the end, for me, it's testing. It's like, let's walk this change. Let's see if we're really over this, or
right.
Dick, should I prepare myself for another safe talk here soon? Okay. You know? And so it helps. Yeah, so it's multi.
Well, I wanted to ask you another question, that when, at what point do you, is there any struggle for you with forgiving your partner for asking the same thing of you?
No, the struggle comes
in.
Or
can you identify with men who would feel that way that might have this challenge?
Can you say that again?
Because I feel like...
I want to hear her say that again.
I don't
if you can. Yeah. If not, it's okay, we got it. But I thought it was like
how
beautifully said.
How do you... Okay, so for men who may have an issue forgiving their partner at the end of the day for their... hiccups or whatever, their little moments of agitation you know, whether or not the other person is fully acknowledging what they did or admitting you, what they're doing every night and giving you a tally and doing confession with you, how do you not let that resentment build up?
So just to make sure I'm hearing you right.
That's why I needed to ask you again too.
Kay.
Yeah.
So just to make sure I'm hearing you right. So we're going to bed and we're not on the same page and refuses to.
No. Oh. I just mean like for relationships that might not have those check-ins every night.
Oh yeah.
And they naturally just let the resentment build up. What are ways to like forgive that other person and just accept them?
Oh man,
them
this
stuff
one.
Like
okay.
That. Like how
I'm
do
gonna
you do
hit.
That?
I'm gonna.
Because it's tough.
Look, here's this thing. One of the biggest struggles for me, and it's coming up in a lot of new ways because I thought I knew this about myself already, is this feeling of control. But that feeling of control goes into knowing that the environment is safe, your relationship is safe, you know, your woman is safe, and you're safe, you know, and you know, your physical space, your personal space, your, you know, life, world, all of that, the world you operate in. And if you're growing together with your woman, you're going to reach a point where she's taking the lead. Like here's the thing. Women are usually in the freaking lead because of your foresight. But in terms of the relationship, like, she's going to see some things and push some actions on the relationship that you're not going to be ready for. And you're going to see coming out of left field. You're going to be like, oh, shit.
Why do we need to do
you
that?
You know what I mean? And you just got to remind yourself, you know what? Hey, look, first of all, she wouldn't be here this long if she wasn't in this for real. Second, if she's been here this long, is she really looking to screw this up right now? Like, am I not gonna do this? Am I not gonna trust her just because I don't feel in control and I'm getting all these weird thoughts and feelings and ideas in my head? I was like, no. And for a lot of men, we'll call them the ones that didn't grow up with father figures maybe, or the men that are out there struggling with stuff, it's really, really tough because that firm grasp on life is the only thing you feel you have, because that's how you made it where you're at. I got where I'm at because of the way I do things, and they know they work, and this, that. Hey, man, I am Marine Corps. I know I struggle, okay? And it's letting go of what you think works, because she is really, really taking the lead. Once you... See, your woman's watching you all the damn time. Whether you're thinking about it or not, she's watching you. And when she sees you do something or act in a certain way, it clicks in her mind like, oh, we're ready for this, and she wants to take you there. How you take it is a sign of where you're at and how ready you really are. Okay? Like, the woman's got the bigger picture, and you just got to accept that, and then address the toxic masculinity along the way. Be real with your friends. Be real with your friends, because there's a lot of guys out there that want this for their women. They want to have these conversations, but they're waiting for their other friends to say something first, because then it's okay. Now it's safe to talk about it and stuff. Be the first one, you know?
I want to ask you another question, and I think that your ability to answer this question might have something to do with your being in the military.
Okay.
That how do you accept getting called out? Like, how do you deal with, not just for you, but just for anyone, like, man or woman, that is trying to accept that constructive criticism?
Yeah.
Sometimes, I guess, it doesn't always come in a constructive delivery, but getting called out and being like, all right, so this part needs to change. And
I take it better now. I'll start there. But when it happens... It depends how it happens. It depends on the context. Because it's happened before where she's pointed something out and I know that was my stick. That was my angle. That's what I was doing, you know. And it's more like, ha, you're not going to pull that one on me, you know. And that one, I kind of shrug and laugh off pretty easily because it's like, yes, okay, I was in the wrong. That was a conscious decision I was making it. I'm evil for making it, you know. And you just kind of have to own it. And I have no problem owning things like that and just admitting things. But... when it's something I wasn't aware that I was doing, you know, something I say or the way I handle something just puts her on edge, but she's giving me the room to be me because I don't know any better, you know, and then doing or saying something that makes those feelings worse, you know, dealing with that, I think, is probably a little bit harder, and it starts with a breath, And then just a deep look at yourself, man, and just being honest, because at first you want to fight it. You want to like, no, and you want to defend it because that's your identity. You're like, no, I would never, but you just did, you know? And the way I think about it is I step back and I think to, I just remind myself, because this is forever, right? We're going to uncover everything. And I'm not arrogant enough to think that I know everything about myself. I know a lot, and I could be aware of a lot and catch it myself, but having someone there, I think, is part of the growth of life, is reaching your potential, is being able to accept the perspective of someone else and then make corrections based on that, and then cross your fingers and hope that you don't get divorced. No, I'm joking. That's you know, that's where we're at now. It's like, you know, everybody in life and everything, but for me, that's what it is. It's like, okay, do you want to grow? There's a saying. It's when people like athletes in some competitive, you know, context, like, I'll go all the way to the end, or do you have what it takes, or what is it like? I'll do whatever it takes. There you go. I'll do whatever it takes, and I like to change it up a little bit and say, do you have what it takes to do what you have to go as far as you need to go? You know what I mean? Because anybody could say, oh, I'll do whatever it takes. Yeah, but do you have what it takes to do what you need to do? Because fear will kick in at any moment. Oh, I'll do anything. Yeah, but what do you do when fear kicks in? Do you have it in you to do what you need to do? Not just the shit you want to. You know, because if you're just doing what you want to, eventually you just sound like some arrogant, cocky know-it-all. You know, because you stick to the easy stuff. You stick to what you know. You know, are you willing to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to be wrong? Are you willing to be confused and not know a damn thing? Really? And just let go. And let her steer, at least until everything settles. You know, at least until you see patterns in her happening over and over again, and you can take a breath and be like, okay, cool. I think we're done with the progress for a few while. Let's let it. You know, now we can rest. Now we can, you know, this is where she wanted to bring us. Okay, let me get comfortable. Let me take the tool belt off. let me hang the cape up.
And what's really cool is that when it gets to, okay, well, first I do want to say that the woman who is going to have this type of partner who's willing to do that with her needs to have a really deep respect for them in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So, like, I tell him often, I honor him greatly for walking this fiery walk with me, but that if he could just continue to remember that I have our best interests at heart, that I will witness when you see better and when you know better, so then I want you to lead me. And then there's gonna be times where I'm gonna be the best leader in certain scenarios or situations. We both understand that and we respect each other's role. Being that he's open to going to that space, I tell him when he comes and says to me, I get it now. I see what I need to see. Mm-hmm. And then he expresses that. I don't go into this toxic femininity space of, see, I told you, why didn't you just listen? And then start throwing all this shame and all this like superiority, because at the end of the day, I really do see him as me, and I see me as him, and I see us as one. And why would I ever want to shame him? What would I want him to do when I come with my tail between my legs and say, hey, I see the tail. And this is what I think I can do, so that I don't end up in this position and or make you feel like what you felt and or blame you for what we were experiencing when all of it was really coming from my choice.
Yeah. How do you know when to take the lead and when to let off the gas?
That's been a practice. Yeah, I was going to say that was the other part of my area that I needed to work on. Mm-hmm. Was I needed to know that he would come around and see it, quote unquote, in a way that was gonna be the middle way, right? The best way, if I gave him the space. Sometimes, because he's so intelligent, and he was already blowing my mind and emotionally and mentally and spiritually in so many other ways, I almost started to hold him to a particular standard.
I love you too, babe.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So then there is these moments where I feel like he was slipping into ego, but I thought, hey, we're homies here, so I could be like, yo, and I'm kind of like in a joking or just trying to see like, hey, this is that pat. Here's a hiccup. I'm seeing the thing happen before, and I've already seen it. So here it is. We get to do something different. We get to do something different right now. But if he's already in that state and he's got the momentum of where he's buying into some illusion.
Yeah, I'm already too far gone.
He's too far gone. Guess what I try to do? But I don't anymore, girl, because I'm learning.
What?
I'm getting wiser. I'm like trying to show him the objective
data.
Trying
to pull me out, yeah.
I'm trying to find the objective data that maybe if I give to him that he could it'll latch on to, yeah. And then it'll help him snap out of the ego illusion. Yeah.
But that doesn't happen? That doesn't work?
That doesn't work for me, no.
No.
Okay,
sometimes
so what
works? And sometimes it's what I'm doing is I'm using my words to give him the pieces of information
that she thinks I'm missing.
He's missing. Now I realize, no, if you're gonna use your words, you need to look at the pieces of information and then figure out how to ask him the right questions so that he can get the answer himself. Because what's making this more difficult is he can't handle me giving him this information.
Yeah, my doors are shut. Mm-hmm.
Can you
talk
about that?
Yeah, it's been a process, you know. My whole thing, right, because I'm so smart, was, no, just be quiet and give me those few seconds and I'll figure it out. You know, I just need 2.2. I run the algorithm and we'll get it. And that wasn't happening. We were hitting walls. I would end up stonewalling her. She 20 minutes later, it'd be, you ever going to answer my question? I was like,
basically, there was three things, right? It's like, first, I was like using my words to give him the clues or the pieces of information that I think maybe if he just registered that, he might feel something and see something different. So that didn't work. Okay, now I'm going to ask the question. And then it was silence is golden, Janie. That's what God was telling me. In these scenarios, sometimes silence is golden.
And it did help.
And, well, this is what I found. And I was like, ooh, that little ego thing found its way around the last and final option of mine, which is be mindful, don't speak. Don't, just not right now. Give him time, and then eventually, right? And then he sometimes would be like, oh, so before you had
I throw stones.
Before you had a lot to say, now you have nothing to say.
pick at.
And now he's shaming me for doing what would be the wisest thing for us as a couple in that moment. I'm being mindful, but now the most mindful thing I could possibly do for us.
Instigating. The antagonist. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I can only hold that space for so long before I finally say, okay, enough's enough.
I'm gonna know.
You wanna keep playing this little illusion? Let's get, stepping in the octagon.
Fall into that.
I'm stepping in the octagon. I just put my gi on, bitch. You've been talking for, I get it. Let's go. And then it's like, forget about it.
Yeah, and then it's
because now it's just this wrestling. It's not. It's horrible.
Yeah, nothing good comes of that space. Mm-mm. When we're in it together like that.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like, but we're as a couple, because we're addressing it so maturely, as quickly and as best as we can after the aftermath. Mm-hmm. We're noticing that God is rewarding us greatly, like instantly, meaning we feel deeper love, deeper connection, more in sync, intuitive communication, more laughter, more understanding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've noticed
more love language stuff just because, you know, it's awesome. And the sex and everything, it just gets more delicious. And then just when you don't think it can, that's why I tell him, I remind him. And when he's all like, oh my God, I just feel so like, and he's seeing his third eyes like freaking extra holographic. And
but
now
I feel like a
like,
kid, I'm all lost. I'm like, and he's like, yeah, this and I'm like, she knows. I just.
He's stepping into my world. Mm-hmm. I'm stepping into his, and he's illuminating mine. So, mm-hmm. Which is all, it's all awesome. Super awesome. It's a total yin yang for sure-sies tangoing, like super. Meta style.
Yeah, sure.
Goals.
Right. So for the guys trying to get there, because I knew you asked
that's
something.
My question. For anyone with
that's where the work becomes more internal and more on yourself. Because if there's one thing I've noticed that holds true in all of this, and finding the space and the words and the time and all those right things, it's finding the breath. You know, and not just take a breath like a forceful one, but if your body were to just sit there, if you were to lie flat on the ground, right, would your breath be able to flow unrestricted in and out of your body? You know, or would the tension in your shoulders, you know, kind of create a little hiccup in the flow? You know what I mean?
Right.
Would it be the tension in your hips or your calves? Like, what would restrict that flow? And for me, if I am breathing and I feel tension somewhere, it's not the right time. Something's building, something's there, something needs to be addressed, you know? And so that's where yoga comes in. I hesitate to say yoga because I don't practice like yoga per se, but I do turn to yoga for a lot of the poses. So recently a lot of stuff was coming up, a lot of emotions a lot of stuff was coming to the surface having to do with family and my siblings specifically. So because I'm with an awesome mindfulness coach who's like, yeah, that's in your hips, you got to do stuff around your hips. So I turn to yoga for hip specific stretches, and then I'll sit and I'll meditate in those positions, and I'll feel the tension. I'll be, oh my God, I don't know how it, the tension will be so tight sometimes I wonder how my body functions, like how am I functioning with my muscles this damn tight? I can't move. What's going on here? There's no range of motion. What is going on? But that's part of what intrigues me. I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to be able to move all kinds of funky ways as soon as I work this out.
That is so funny.
You know? So so if it becomes an internal thing. And that's what works for me, because now what it is now I have to keep myself busy, because after I've done stretching, I have to get on the computer and edit bottom thirds or find footage or transfer this or get on a camera and let's do this. Okay, cool. We're going to set up this set. Because now I've noticed that if I'm not doing that, that's a part of me it's something I can be okay doing. I can ignore that little part of me. I can stay in bed for 30 more seconds. You know, I cannot have that extra bit of ice cream and neglect that part of me and things like that. But I've noticed that it affects her. So it's almost like if I have to be in, I have to be in my best flow if I want her in her best flow. Because I've noticed if I'm in the funk for whatever reason, mm-hmm. she feeds off of it. I don't have to say anything to her. Mm-hmm. She feeds off of it,
oh,
and then
we'll
like bump into each other in the kitchen, and when she's getting coffee, and there's
a little,
and we're like, whoa, wait a minute,
responding to
that
attention.
Stuff is real, you know what I mean? So it becomes this responsibility of, yeah, go ride that bike, yes, go to the gym, exert that excess energy. If you want to geek out on the computer for a couple of hours, do that. You want to play, whatever it is that you release, do that, you know. And then once you realize that it's your release, you can start thinking about whether or not you really want to be doing that thing to release yourself, because, you know, 4 hours of the day on video games, although it makes you feel good, is not very productive,
right.
You know, so maybe you could do 4 hours or something, but that's,
right,
you know,
less
that's
of
levels
that and
everything's in levels
something.
Yeah, you know, maybe that aggression you get out of playing Call of Duty is better spent riding a bike or running or
kickboxing,
whatever, something,
whatever.
You know, a sport, basketball, I don't know, whatever, something physical, you know, doesn't all have to be at your hands. Spread that tension out to the rest of your body. You obviously got enough energy to, you know, play video games the way you do. And that's just one example. Some people work out too much. And it's like, hey, man, maybe you shouldn't just be throwing heavy things around. Maybe you should be playing sports. Or maybe you should be riding a bike, something like that. You know, it's just, maybe
or
you should be stretching.
Stretch, right,
maybe that aggression,
stretching.
Maybe you should slow down. Maybe you shouldn't be throwing heavy things around. You need to just sit. Something.
Maybe a lot of the physical activity you're doing and or even work-related stuff can be real assertive and aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So it would behoove you to do activities that it's not like fast-moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's not aggressive. It is more gentle.
Yeah,
because,
there you go. Balance
you know
out.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like balancing out the...
Which is weird to say to like roughnecks, you know. So if you work in the rigs and your tools
that.
In hand and you're all dirty, he's like, okay, come
people.
Sit and rest in this position
like,
and
yeah,
relax.
Whatever.
And they're like, hey, what needs to be fixed, man? Like, where's the beer? Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's the thing with social media. Okay, so this info got out, and not social media, but just technology and how easy information is to get nowadays. Because I remember, if I wanted to know anything, you had to go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read a lot of books when I was younger. But now, if you want to know something, just, hey, Alexa, blah, 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 hey, Google, blah, blah, you know, hey, Siri, you know, you can talk to any one of your phones. What was the stat that got out? The hops in alcohol are a natural muscle relaxer, you know? And so I've personally heard some men talk about, like, well, hey, babe, let me just have this drink because I'm all tense from work. I'll just have this, you know, this one or whatever.
Take the edge off.
Yeah, there you go.
And,
you know.
And we have found a way to, like, luckily Justin really likes essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
Justin likes breathing. Justin likes stretching. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's into all these holistic ways.
I've learned to love them.
Right, that's true. You've learned to love them.
Because I lean on them so much, and I
yes,
know that they...
They yeah. work for
they
him.
They are a value.
I'm not bringing that... He already had those practices in place, and then I had mine. So they blend in nicely that we can, like, support... That we could support one another. We could support one another in our self-care practices. So there's certain things that Justin knows he needs so that he can have a good day. And then if he doesn't do these things, that he's going to be a little off. You know, for me, I know what my things are, but we try to incorporate some couple-based things too that we can do together. You know what I mean? To make sure we're also getting started on the right foot as a man and a woman, or as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, being that he has become so aware of his felt senses. And
his what?
His meaning, like, you know how when you
felt senses. What is felt senses?
Okay, so when you have an emotion or you're thinking or feeling something,
mm-hmm.
you'll feel it somewhere in your body.
Right. Okay.
So,
gotcha.
felt
senses. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's your sensory.
That
you
feel.
Know, yes, it's
gotcha.
The...
Gotcha, mm-hmm. okay.
And if you start to get curious, because most people don't even think about this kind of stuff.
The feelings that you generate when you are having emotions?
Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say you're feeling extremely disrespected by somebody
mm-hmm.
and betrayed. You're going to definitely be thinking and feeling some things, right? But your body is also responding to your thoughts and your feelings. So see where it's going to physically. So you might realize, like, oh, wow, like my elbow right. aches a little bit right now.
Like some tension, you know what I mean? Right here, yeah. for some reason.
Yeah, or like you'll start yeah. getting sharp pains. Mm-hmm. Like I wish right now I can identify the emotion, but there's something mm-hmm. that'll happen to me sometimes. That will strike me there, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. and it could be maybe when I'm being misunderstood and I can't get my message through, no matter how mindful or compassionate or loving I mean, my message just can't get through, and that sometimes brings this like oh right mm-hmm. here, you know, mm-hmm. and so then I get my hands and like I start to massage it. I start to massage it. Yep. And then also, too, I noticed that when I feel, if I feel very rage, like if I feel rage, okay, and it's not something that I feel often, but I do experience it from time to time, and it could be from a past trauma mm-hmm. that comes up, and then all of a sudden I'll feel like, and I'll go into this Medusa about like, oh, it's so sad, what's happened to the feminine? You know what I mean? And then I'm like, today I feel all the women and the babies. And it's like, I just feel like the weight and the pain and the suffering of the world and the rape and the pillage. And he's like, oh my God. And I'm like, just give me the room. Just let me do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so cool because he lets me be all cray cray, like I'm on a stage or something, just like, you know, getting it all out of my system. And then I say a prayer usually afterwards, and I thank God and I ask God to, like, you know, continue to help heal me from this and of the world and the psyche of the men and just everybody, you know, however we're like being pain. And Justin gives me the room, and then he doesn't shame me. And he doesn't look at me like I'm crazy, because guess what? He has his crazy, and I've seen that sucker. I've seen that suffer and suck attack.
Call it the it or the thing. Mm-hmm.
I do. I call it the it or the thing. The other day it was so hilarious. Like, we can laugh about it now, thing. But girl, forget about it. That thing showed
what
up. Okay, let me tell you. When I call it that thing,
it?
Yeah. So the ego. Okay. So you know how we all have all these like certain archetypes that show up in us, based on certain identities that we've identified with. So I call it the military man. There's this military man, and he starts saying things, but he's saying it in a way that's, to me, condescending and a little bit rude. And then, and I'm like, hey, I'm receptive to the message you're trying to convey, but if you would like for me to feel a little more safe, try this on for size.
I do that. What he does, I also do that, where I feel like I've caught myself or been caught up, or someone will point it out to me that I am like talking at them more than I am talking to them in a loving way. I'm just like, I want my point of view to be understood so much that I'm like forcing it on you, and like yes. that I'll be just like talking at and over someone that I'm just like, I don't know where all of that really comes from. I mean, I can dissect it, and I'm sure I could let me tell you,
uh-huh. to be honest with you, okay, it's actually a really good thing. What we need to understand, though, is if you're in communication with somebody that in that moment isn't valuing it to the same degree, that's when we can become what I call like bulldozers. You know, it can feel like, they can feel mm-hmm. like we're bulldozing them.
Yes.
Pushing mm-hmm. something onto them. This is what starts to, and I was in that space. Let me tell you, I was in that space where you are right now in your walk with this as a woman.
Right.
And how to navigate this type of, this territory with a man and relationships and stuff. I now am in a place where I first am doing my best to communicate that despite the fact that I feel I don't like what's showing up and where he's going right now with what's happening, I can understand why he's doing it. I do. I'm like, I get it. Because I get him so well. We've shared so much. He shared so much of his subconscious mind with me. And then on top of that, and I say this humbly, we all have gifts. And one of my gifts is to pick up. I am a multi, when I say multilingual,
very intuitive with, you know.
Yeah, I'm picking up nonverbals. Yes. I'm reading multiple data mm-hmm. simultaneously. And because mm-hmm. this has been happening for so long, I've now learned how to stream it properly mm-hmm. so I can get like the exactly what I need. It's like cutting through and sifting through and getting all the gold and then seeing what the real thing is, the golden nugget in the shitola that I'm having to face right now. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. There's this piece of me that feels like there's
Shatola
something...
is property of Rise Above TV.
Copyrighting that word, no. I just feel like, and then in that moment, if we have the background as to why it's happening, I'm thinking, well, first let me tell him I get why he's doing it. But let me also tell him why he's doing what he's doing could also be course corrected in this manner so that you could be more loving, not just for yourself, but for us and for me. Because at the end of the day, you say to me, I love you and I want you to feel safe. And so that means that we're going to step on each other's toes from time to time, and then we have to be the ones to deliver the information to them in such a way that is not shame and blame, but it's like, let me help you, help me, help you. And people are like, oh, it's like kind of dizzying, but think about it. Think about it. And then if you're like, well, I don't want to help you, you figure it out yourself, and that now we're stepping into ego again. Now we're not working in tandem. Now we're not really a team. And what frustrates me is if and when, and this is when I need to learn, this is now where I'm leveling up with myself and really learning how to bite the tongue, is if we go there, let's say, and I'm seeing that, and then I have to witness he's not in the place of seeing it from that level of understanding right now. Back down.
Very narrow-minded in the moment.
Yeah, I have to see how small the scope is. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, do you see what I mean? And then he's my friend. And then I'm like, but let me show you and say this so that maybe I can expand it even just a little bit. Because if it expands a little bit, then maybe you'll feel and think differently. And he's like,
but I'm a man, so no, let me be wrong. Break things.
I know I asked Justin this question, but I wanted to ask you, this is my last question I'll ask, is that, would you say, like, how would you talk about your experience of really... as a woman, when we are in the wrong, how do we graciously go about accepting that and being like, what happens when we mess up? You know what I mean? Like, can you talk about that side? Mm-hmm.
I can even give you an example.
In a healthy way, not in a self-deprecating way or like a pathetic way, but coming in your power as a woman, being humble.
Yes. I almost feel like we've had a few examples just recently where I'm always wanting to express humility, and that's why sometimes it can be difficult, because that's not registering to him. Like, he's not thinking, like, he's like, doesn't see it. But you do eventually, correct?
Yeah.
I'm just curious right now, has there ever been a time where I was like really trying to express my humility and it wasn't registering, and it really was just in my head, and I really was like being like self-righteous in a bad way?
I mean, not yet.
Okay. And that's what I always see. I always tell them we have to go off of data.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel, no. But and I say that because when I go back and think about it, and I really give your perspective the space in my mind, I usually come around to it. I'm usually like, she's right. Go, babe, sorry, I messed up the can. I didn't do nothing.
He does this voice. He's like, I didn't do nothing. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and then I'm like, and I'm laughing. And then I tell him, this is where the woman can show humility. Mm-hmm. Like, remember we were talking about the tail between the legs? Mm-hmm. When I see, that's one. There's a lot of ways in which the feminine can express humility to the masculine. And so when he comes, I say, hey, I really appreciate you doing that, and I'm really proud of you. And I don't think that'll ever get old. I don't think it will. I like to get in the habit of just saying it every time, and I tell him thank you. Because it makes me feel really good. It makes me feel respected. It makes me feel like I trust you. It's when he doesn't see it and or doesn't come back around to say something to me that I'm like...
I'm also sure to tell her, you know, like that... You did good standing your ground like that, because I can see now where I was at, and you know. And
that was beautiful.
It would have been tough, you know, vice versa. I'm hard to love, and I know it.
Yeah, he says that to me every time when it gets to a place where I really have to, like, hold my ground. And there's healthy boundaries. I was going to tell you about a moment that happened the other day.
I'll compliment her on her battle skills, I call it.
Yes. He does. You know what he told me the other day that was so hot? So he has a teenage son who's into video games, and it's his way of sort of connecting to his son from time to time where they can play.
We play online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Hey, you want to see the avatar that I put together?" And first of all, he put together it's a girl. And he goes, and every time I play, she just reminds me so much of you. And I'm seeing her, and she's got all these like cool, like a bow and arrow or like a cool sword. You know what I mean? She's just a badass.
She's wearing like a poncho, a bandana.
And so every day he's like, "Hey, I respect like mad props for how you handled that, and thank you so much for having compassion, you know, for these things that are occurring, but I'm witnessing them and I'm working on them, and thank you." And so we're always giving each other thanks for our accomplishments, no matter how small or big, especially when it comes to us working on ourselves, like me interrupting or things like this, you know. And I think when I am incorrect, because my big thing is I want to see my own hypocrisy. Like, that's one of my prayers every day is like, show me my hypocrisy. So let's say I'm like seeing something and going off in a particular way, and then Justin, when he uses his voice, not to shame me, but to say, "Hey, really quick, I hear what you're saying, but this is actually what I meant by that." And then I'll be like, "Oh, okay, cool." So I don't have to say anything else because that just diffused the whole thing. And that just, all right, cool. And then I'll stop dead in my tracks. You know, I'm not going to go on and on.
Can I ask you both? Okay, I keep saying this is my last question. No. I know we're getting long now.
We could break it up, sister. There's like a bunch of little pieces, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You have these questions, and they're each a little segment.
How do you not take things personally when you get corrected?
Oh, we do. Like, we just talked about that the other day. I asked him, I go, "Hey, what's the first emotion that comes over you once you're in a state of recognition that you know, it was kind of like you made a really false assumption and you ran with it without hearing the true data, you know?" I know. And hey, that doesn't,
right,
it doesn't,
for me.
And it doesn't just have, it happens to the both of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we went in like, and I'm like, for me, I feel the first emotion is I feel ashamed. And so then, and that's why I try to tell Justin. And that's why he said I think that was one of the emotions he felt. And he's like, "Yeah, that's something that I feel." And I'm like, "Exactly. So if we're feeling that about and thinking that about our own selves in that moment, why in the world would we want to throw more shame? Why would I want him to come and acknowledge his fuck up and then me say some crap? Yeah, well, you should have known better. It shouldn't have happened at all. I told you so. And here you know, and all this stuff." It's like,
not helping.
It's not going to help. In that moment, what they need to hear is, "Thank you. I appreciate you. That took a lot of courage," because it's positive reinforcement, man. The last thing I want to do when he's that vulnerable and exposed is slash him again. Now, you know what I'm saying, girl?
Yeah.
And listen, I get that. I haven't always been that way, and I don't know, Justin, how often you feel I missed the mark in that area. And that's another thing that I appreciate about him. Because see, eventually he could say, because I'll go into like a little bit of my dragony, toxic, feminine, masculine, whatever the hell you want to call it, okay? Just like my dumbass, that's what I call it, my dipshit. And I can say that with compassion. Here, we can do a little.
For yourself.
Here. Yeah, because, hey, it's okay. Like, I've reconciled. She's my friend. And I just say that because it's more just the ignorant side of me that's pinching off, you know.
Yeah.
A different kind of reality, and that's okay, because guess what? That's what we're here to experience. There's two realities. The goal is to use your free will to pick the one that brings you the least pain, but from time to time we're going to step into pain, and if you know? And that's why Justin and I, in relationships, people have a relationship is like the old paradigm where it's this fantasy-based movie idea of love, this perfect, like a person's just gonna acquiesce to your every need and give you everything you want, and you're not gonna have to grow or change or morph, and you know, and I mean, if that's what you want, then that's cool, but that's like, that's not, don't expect your relationship to thrive for right. the long haul.
That's only good for one side, like.
Yeah, and it's the perfect feeding, breeding grounds for battle of the sexes to eventually occur.